For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the songs. Father, we thank you that Jesus has all power. And Father, there's not a single life that he cannot change. There's not a single person he cannot help. We thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. And thank you, Father, for wanting to be a part of our lives. I thank you, Father, for just the word that even Paul spoke about, being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful relationship that we have with you through Jesus Christ. Lord, what a beautiful morning you've given us, Lord, just the beautiful sunshine, the blue skies. Lord, just reminds us of your goodness. It reminds us of your greatness and your faithfulness. And Father, all things continue because you're so faithful. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning through your word and through the songs. I pray that our hearts would be drawn to you. And I thank you, Father, for the promises that you have in your word, especially the one that says, if we draw nigh unto you, you'll draw nigh unto us. Thank you, Father, for just your faithfulness to your people. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21. I read those at the beginning, and that is where we're at this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. This morning we're going to be talking about being strengthened within. Being strengthened within our soul, within our spirit. And if you've been a child of God for any length of time, you've been a born-again believer, a Bible believer, you know the strength obviously comes from the Lord. It's not from your inner man, but it's from the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within each and every believer. So in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 14, Paul writes, as he writes to the church of Ephesus, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. Father, we thank you for the songs that we've sang. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word, that you do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, we thank you that nothing is impossible for you. It may be impossible for us, and at times we think things may be impossible, but Lord, you are the God of the impossibilities. Father, we thank you that you always guide us in the right way, that, Father, you order the steps of a good man, and though we may fall seven times, yet you're there to lift us up and to keep us going and keep walking with us. And there's times, Lord, we come to the end of our rope. We feel as though on the inside that we have no more strength to continue on. We find ourselves lost in this world, and yet, Father, when we turn to you, you truly are the way maker. You are the one that guides us. You're the one that guides us down that straight and narrow path. And if we will but put our face and heart looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, Father, we will find strength because our strength comes from the Lord, and we thank you for it. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, bless the children as they're in junior church, open up their understanding of the Bible being taught, help them to understand the Bible lesson. And I pray, Father, that you allow the word of God to take root in their hearts. And Father, would you continue to allow your word to take root in our hearts as well, bringing forth much fruit in our lives, Lord, for our good and for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this morning, I want to talk to us about being strengthened within, because as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he writes to them and he tells them his heart's desire and his prayer for them is that they would be strengthened within. Because Paul understands the life that we live in, it can take a toll on you. You find yourself at different times, like I said in my prayer, at your wit's end, not knowing what to do, finding yourself just having no energy, no desire to go on because of life difficulties and things that may be happening in your life. But that's why Paul reminds us here that our strength comes from within. Our strength comes from the Lord, who will guide us and strengthen us and give us exactly what we need. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need and ask for that help. And I want you to notice in verse 14, though, Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the cause of praying for this church at Ephesus." And sometimes, you know what? We need to find that cause within ourselves that we need to bow our knees before our Lord and Savior. And you know, there are times in our life where you may drop to your knees. I can remember a time in my life, not too far in the past. One of our children were close to being born, but there were some difficulties. And you know, just always when there's difficulties, you always have the thoughts of, is this child going to be born? Is this child going to make it? And different things. And I remember just getting to the end of myself and really just dropping down physically to my knees and crying out to God just that he would spare the child if it be his will, and that he would just comfort my wife and just his will would be done, but he would just give us the peace that passes all understanding, that everything is going to be fine. And I remember after dropping to my knees and crying out to the Lord, I just had this peace come over me. I just felt like everything was fine. And soon after, my wife texted me. I think she texted me. She might have called me and said that everything was fine. She was doing well. And I just started praising the Lord because, you know, God understands that there's times in our life where we just get to the place where we just physically, we don't know what to do. Paul here, though, he is purposely bowing his knees before Christ. He's going to bow his knees before the Lord on the behalf of somebody else because he wants these people to really grow in their relationship with the Lord. He really wants these people to be strengthened in Christ and to be strengthened in the love of Christ, because in my situation that I just described, you know, I was crying out to the Lord on the behalf of somebody else, on the behalf of a child. But it was grieving me. But there are times in our life where, you know what, we have something going on personally. We find ourselves gripped with fear. We find ourselves gripped with anxiety and doubts and unbeliefs and just the weight of the world and just the weight of things going on in our communities and society right now and even in our country. You know, just the hatred that runs rampant in our country and all the things that can really weigh heavy upon you. And the Lord wants us to come to a place where when we feel so overwhelmed, we will bow before the one who can give us the inner strength, the one who can give us the peace, the one who can guide us according to his will and to help us to really see things through the eyes of Christ. So I want you to take your Bibles and look at Ephesians chapter 1. Keep a finger here in Ephesians 3. Maybe turn back a page or two. Because I want you to understand that we're bowing before the one who truly has blessed us. And that's why Paul bows. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We've truly been blessed in our life if we will reflect on how good God has been to us. Again, I know life can be overwhelming, but allow God to be such a part of your life that you are allowing him to dwell richly in your heart. You're allowing him to have full control of your emotions and your decisions. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Stopping right there, there are times where we have to remind ourselves I've truly been blessed by the Lord through Jesus Christ. He goes on to mention what the blessings are in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You and I are accepted in the eyes of the Lord because of Christ. Yes, the Lord knows our past. He knows the mistakes that we've made. He knows the mistakes that we will make. And yet we're still accepted because of Jesus Christ. He still loves us because Jesus shed his blood for us. We're part of the family of God. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, according to God's will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You talk about the fact that we have truly been blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. I can bow my knee before the one who has my life, the one who loves me, the one who paid the price to redeem me from the power of sin, the one who gives me victory every day through his power. Again, the Lord knows at times we come to that place where, again, we don't feel like we have much strength. We feel we don't know what to do. We feel like the world is caving in on us, and yet the Holy Spirit of God that's within every believer points us back to the Savior and says, you've been blessed. You have the power of Christ in you because Christ lives within you. Again, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Always, always remember that Christ lives within you. And because Christ lives within you, you can live this life now by the faith of Jesus Christ. All right? So when you think about the fact that Paul is bowing before God on behalf of the believers at Ephesus, we see that his heart's desire is for these people. His heart's desire is that these people would grow in the Lord and they would remember the power that they have within them, the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them to remain faithful and steadfast and always abounding in the work of the Lord. If your heart is affected, it will cause your body to move. Paul's heart was affected by the love of these people, and it caused him to physically bow before the Lord on their behalf and to seek on their behalf the blessings of the strength of the Lord in their life. Look at verse 16, if you would, as we think about Paul's prayer and his desire for these believers. In verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Hopefully this morning, I hope you understand that you have victory in Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to allow yourself to think that life is over, that this is the best it's ever going to be. God's given you a wonderful life. And you might think, well, Pastor, you don't know the things I have in my life. You don't know the things I face in my life. I don't, but God does. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the best life because you have Jesus Christ who can guide you and help you and strengthen you in your life so that, you know what, you do see the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves about the blessings of God. And as Paul prays for these people, he says that he, speaking of God, would grant you, the believer, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The outward man fails. The outward man is decaying. The outward man is fragile. Our minds are fickled at some times. Yet the power of Christ in us, that we would be strengthened in the inner man, that our spirit would be strengthened by the power of Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, if you would. Keep a finger in Ephesians, but go to Isaiah chapter 41, if you would. Because I know for a fact there are a lot of people, maybe not in this auditorium this morning, maybe not in this sanctuary, but there are a lot of people in life around us, maybe in your family, that are spiritually struggling. They're spiritually struggling with life. They're struggling with themselves. They're having a hard time reading their Bible. having a hard time crying out to the Lord. This morning, I want us to be reminded that, again, we have the greatest power within us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have not been given a new life to live separated from Christ. We've not been given this life to live on our own, but through the power of Christ, because the Lord knows what the days have ahead of us. He knows what every given day is going to be like for us. He knows the trials, the difficulties that we will face. He knows how our enemy, the adversary, will always shoot his fiery darts, trying to get at us, trying to sift us like wheat. Remember, Jesus told Peter that Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for thee. Aren't you glad you have a Savior who prays for you, who loves you and looks after you? And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." This is God speaking. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's God speaking to you, and God says, "I will do it. I will strengthen you. I will lift you up. I will help thee. I will uphold thee, because I am thy God." Look at, if you would, go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Maybe just one page back, Isaiah 40 and verse 29 and 31. Again, God says, "I am with thee." Always remember that God's with you. Even when you don't feel like he is, God's always there, because he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, "No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand." So he's always there, though sometimes you may not feel like he is. But remember, our faith is not about a feeling. It's not about how I feel. It's about what I know. And I know that the Lord is always there. I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse 29, 31. "He giveth power to the faint." Again, have you ever been at the end of your rope? Have you ever felt spiritually faint, like you had no energy, you couldn't go on? Well, the Lord is the one that gives us power. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint," because it's the strength of the Lord. It's the power of Christ within you. Paul prays for spiritual strength for the believers at Ephesus. Is it because Paul is superior to them? Is it because Paul is a greater Christian than the believers at Ephesus? No, it's because Paul understands the Christian life. He understands life. He understands being in a place where you have to choose the strength of the Lord. You have to choose to believe that God is going to make a way, that God is going to help you. Because again, when we think about the life of Paul, and Paul writes the letter to Ephesus, Paul finds himself many times being hated by people against him, finding himself in prison, his back bleeding from being beaten, people hunting him, wanting to kill him, and just people doing him wrong, people that were his close friends, those that would travel with him, would desert him and speak evil of him. Paul understands, and Paul knows that, you know what? I've got to gather inner strength from the Lord. I've got to seek the Lord and allow the Lord to be my strength and allow the Lord to be my joy and to remind myself that I truly am a blessed man. The blessings in your life are not based on your bank account, the home you live in, the car you drive, the job you have. What determines your success in life is whether or not you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, whether or not you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but for every day of your life, that you're following the Lord, you're allowing him to guide you, you're allowing him to live within you. Remember, again, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Living life by faith. Have you lost your faith? Have you stopped believing that Christ is greater and that he has redeemed you from the power of sin, that he has blessed you with a new life. And as he said, he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. It's being strengthened within. The Lord knows that we have days in our life that are difficult and days where we kind of want to give up. We even have that in Scripture. Many wanted to give up, many telling the Lord it's enough, and yet the Lord strengthened them to finish the race that God had placed them in. You and I are in a race, not a race against each other, but a race to run with the Lord and to finish this life having done well, because we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're living our life for him. The psalmist said in Psalm 138, verse 3, "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul." Again, the psalmist said, "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me." Have you stopped believing that God answers prayer? Have you stopped believing that God cares about you or loves you or wants to help you? That's a lie from your enemy. It's a lie from the devil. Because if we'll cry out to the Lord, the Bible's true that he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you in your soul. He will help you to be resolved and steadfast, to keep moving forward for the Lord, to keep trusting him, and to continue in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Go back, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, if you're not there. Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 17 and 18, because Paul not only prays for their spiritual strength, but he prays that they would continue in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Because if we ever stop believing that Jesus loves us, it will cause us to falter in our faith. It will cause us to go a different direction. It will cause us to choose paths that have hurts and difficulties and destruction. We already have difficulties in our life. Why choose a path that's going to add more to it? Why not walk on the straight and narrow path with the Lord Jesus, who will give you the strength to endure the storms and give you the ability to keep walking and to keep moving forward, because he's the master of the storm. He's the one that walks with us through the shadow of the valley of death. Look at verse 17, if you would. The Bible says, as Paul continues to pray on behalf of these believers, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Paul says he prays that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. He's not praying for their salvation. He's writing to a church of believers. He's writing to those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But Paul understands, again, there's times in life where we lose hope. We lose faith in the Lord if we allow it. But does God ever fail? Has God ever failed you once? And the answer is no. Now, humanly speaking, we might think of things, well, I don't think God did this for me. I think God allowed this problem in my life. But God never fails. God's never failed us once. Again, when I think that my life is not what it should be, when I think that God is allowing things in my life that I don't think he should allow in my life, difficulties, my mind always goes to the life of Job. Now, I'm not Job, but when you look at the life of Job, Job was a man that eschewed evil. He was a man that walked upright. I mean, he had a testimony with God, and God loved Job, and Job loved God. And Job was a man of integrity. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that prayed for his children, just in case they were living in sin, just in case they were doing something wrong. Job wanted to pray for them. But we find in the life of Job that one day God has a conversation. The devil comes to the Lord. The Bible says the day that the sons of God presented themselves to God, talking about the angels of the Lord, the devil comes and God asks the devil, "Where have you been? What you been doing?" And the devil says, "Walking to and fro in the earth." And God says to the devil, to your adversary, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Sometimes God allows difficulties in our life. If you know the account of Job, you know what happens. God's in full control. And God was allowing difficulties in Job's life, not only to show us that God's in control, not the devil, Because you read the book of Job and God says you can do this, but you can't do that. And the devil does not overstep his bound and do what God tells him not to do, because even the devil is subject to the authority of God. Don't ever believe that the devil is just making havoc and can do whatever he wants in your life. You have Christ in your life. You have the strength of the Lord in your life. Don't allow yourself to be beat up by the devil mentally, spiritually. You have victory in Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have victory. You have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul prays for these people that they would continue in the faith, that their faith would not waver, that they would remember the love of Christ for them. He says, again, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Don't lose the faith in Jesus Christ, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Remember, your faith in Jesus is rooted in his love for you because he showed you his love at Calvary. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because in order for our faith to remain, in order for our faith to be strong, we have to remind ourselves about the love of Christ and how much he loves you and what he's done for you and for me as well. Again, we're talking about being strengthened within ourselves, within our spirit, to be resolved and steadfast in our faith for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you look at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he," speaking of Jesus, "died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." How much does Jesus love you? Enough to die for you? Enough the fact that he did die for you and for me. And because his love is so great, remember he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's exactly what the Lord did for you. He laid down his life for you. So not only your sins could be forgiven, but that you could live in the power of Christ and be strengthened with the power of Christ to live this life that he's given you. Again, in Galatians 2:20, I've mentioned it several times, but again, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," listen, "who loved me and gave himself for me." How much does God love you? Enough that he gave himself for you. And he doesn't just leave you to live the life by yourself. See, we have an enemy who lies to us, who lies to people and says, "You're worthless. No one cares." You know, Facebook is a lie. Facebook can be good, keeping up with, you know, family members and stuff, but the majority of it's a big lie. People lie on Facebook and say how wonderful their life is, and yet they're miserable. Because I've known of people who've had thousands of Facebook friends, and yet none of them helped them not to commit suicide. Because I have one example of a young lady who, and I've told you this before, who on Facebook asked people, "Give me a reason why I shouldn't commit suicide." She talked about how miserable she was, and not a single friend on Facebook tried talking her out of it. In fact, several posted, "Do it, I dare you." See, we have an enemy who hates us. We have an enemy who wants people to live in misery. He doesn't want people to live in the victory of Christ. He doesn't want people to live in the joy of the Lord. Again, this morning, if you're in the sound of my voice and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you're struggling on the inside, turn to Christ. Remind yourself of the victory that you have in Christ because he shed his blood at Calvary for you. And because he shed his blood at Calvary for you, he loves you more than any single person in this world ever will. But the wonderful thing about it, though, is when our relationship is right with Christ, it helps us to have right relationships. It helps us to have a right focus on life. And Paul wanted these believers to continue in their faith and love of Jesus, always remember how much Christ loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you and he rose again from the grave to give you the life that you have. And no doubt we have a bright future ahead of us as we have heaven to look forward to. But right now, as we live in this sin-cursed world, we have the power of Christ in us to help us to have victory each and every day. Jesus said in Matthew 7:25, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. Speaking about a life that's built upon a rock. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Build your life upon Jesus Christ. So when the storms of life come, you'll be able to weather those storms because it's Christ in you. It's Christ helping you. Last thing I want you to think about, look at verse 19 if you would. Not the last thing, but the next thing. In verse 19, again, as Paul continues to pray for these people, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prays that they would know the love that passes all understanding. That passes all understanding. How can God still love me when I mess up? How can God still love me when I choose things that go against what he wants? How can God still love me because I continue to fall into these pitfalls? Because it's a love that passes all understanding. Again, when you can understand the love that not would force the Son of God to lay down his life, but a love that, as Jesus says, no man takes my life, I lay it down freely. A love that will lay down his life, not just for the good people, not just for those that live uprightly, those that are morally upright, but to lay down his life for every single person, because every single person is a sinner in need of a Savior. When you understand the love of God and you read through God's word and you find that God is so gracious and so loving and so forgiving. I mean, you read through the book of Judges and you see where God's people, they walk with him for a while, they serve him for a while, but then they kind of walk away from the Lord and they start serving themselves and serving other gods, doing what they want to do. And they find by walking away from the Lord, think about this. With God, there's love, there's peace, there's joy, there's contentment, there's satisfaction. But separated from God, there's none of those things. There's hardship, there's dissatisfaction, discontentment, there's oppression. There's just all kinds of things. And you read in the scriptures where God's people would walk away from the Lord and they would find themselves in these positions they never thought they would be in. They thought, you know, they were making their own choice and thought things would be fine, but then they find after some years that they need the Lord. And they would cry out to the Lord. And the Lord was so gracious and so loving that when they would cry out, he would redeem them. He would bring them back into fellowship with him. And yet, you read in the book of Judges, they continue to do that cycle of walking away from the Lord, coming back, walking away from the Lord, coming back. And yet, we find over and over again where God is gracious and God's loving. And I want you to be reminded that God is gracious and loving in your life. Doesn't mean continue to take advantage of his grace, but to know that, you know what, when we mess up, and we will, the Lord is gracious, he's long-suffering. He's there to forgive us. He's there to cleanse us. He's there to bring us back into fellowship with him. But we need to know the love that passes all understanding. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What a wonderful question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Which of those things will separate us from the love of Christ? And verse 38 says, for I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ because he's in you. Again, we have an enemy that wants us to believe that that we can be separated from the Lord. Again, people walk away from the Lord. Jonah ran from the Lord. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord, and God wanted Jonah to do something, and Jonah didn't want to do it, and the Bible says Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. You can't flee from the presence of the Lord. God is everywhere, and God sees everywhere we go. But Jonah did. Jonah thought within his mind, I'm going to run from the Lord because I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And God was gracious and loving, allowed Jonah to run. But then Jonah finds himself in the whale's belly. And I believe that. I believe Jonah, as a grown man, was inside of a whale's belly. Because God's not a man that he should lie. God gives us that account. And Jonah, being the author of the book of Jonah, he writes his own account. He writes how he ran from the Lord. He writes how he was angry that God spared an entire city of people. You know what? Jonah learns the grace of God. He learns that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even our own selves running from God can separate us from his grace and his love and his forgiveness. When you think about just the fact that Paul writes, he wants them to be reminded of God's love. He wants them to understand that God's love passes all understanding. Again, God does not love like a human loves. We will love people who love us back. We will forgive people who forgive us. People that scratch our backs will scratch their backs. But God's not that way. God allows the beautiful sunshine that's shining today to be shining on the lost. Those that have turned their back on the Lord. Those who aren't living for the Lord. He allows his goodness to shine upon them. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And when you think about just the wonderful grace and goodness of God, you think about what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, for in him, speaking of Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye, speaking of you, are complete in him. You're complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Paul prays that these folks would be filled with the goodness of God and that they would be reminded of God's goodness in their life, that you are complete. There's nothing you lack. Again, you have an enemy that lies to you and says, well, you need this and you need that to be happy and to be joyous. Now, God blesses us with good things. God blesses us with family, with children. Children are heritage of the Lord. God blesses with good jobs. He blesses, you know, at times if you're praying, I mean, God blesses you with a good home. I mean, the home that he blessed us with, my wife and I were just talking about how good God is. It was after Wednesday night's message of not complaining based on Psalm 100. And my wife and I got talking afterwards, and we're like other people. We complain at times. And we got talking, and we're like, you know, there's nothing to complain about. And we started thinking, naming all the things that God's blessed us with since we moved to Michigan 3.5 years ago. And just the beautifulness of the area, a wonderful church he's blessed us with, the fact that we're like 5 minutes from the church. If you want to drive down Drainer, we're 5 minutes from the church. Otherwise, take the long way down, you know, Seymour Lake Road, and you know where it's a little better. But just the fact God blessed us with a wonderful house, that our backyard has woods, and we have nature, we have deer and just rabbits and squirrels. I mean, just seeing God's creation and a beautiful county park that we go to and we go walking, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful. And we just think about all the things God's blessed us with, and it's like, God is so good. But see, the devil doesn't want us to focus on the goodness of God. The devil doesn't want us to focus on the blessings of God in our life. But when you think about the fact that you have been blessed, and Paul prays that these folks would be filled with the goodness of God, filled with the joy of the Lord, filled with the peace of Christ, filled with God's love. Because you know what? When you are full of the Lord, you see things in a different perspective. When you're truly thinking about the goodness of God, you can look at a situation that's bad and see good. Because God will help you to see good in it. Because you belong to the Lord. God does not allow your enemy to just do whatever he wants in your life. But our enemy tries to get into our minds and cause us to think things that are not true, cause us to think that God's not in control. But Paul prays for the filling of the Holy Spirit in these believers' life. I want you to look at verse 20, just about done here. Look at verse 20 as he prays and he wants them to understand. He wants God to reveal to them, help them understand that God has the capabilities to do anything in their life for them. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now we got to pay specific attention, pay very special attention to the words that Paul says and what's in your Bible, because he doesn't just say, now unto him that's able to do above all that we ask or think. But the words exceeding abundantly. See, when God does something, he goes all out. I mean, again, you think about just creation. You think about just the beauty of flowers. And just the fact there are so many different types of flowers. And God just didn't create one flower for us to enjoy, but a whole host of different types of flowers that have different smells to them. I mean, when God does something, he goes overboard. He goes all out. Whatever it is in your life that you need God to do and to help you with, the Bible says he can do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because sometimes we limit God in our thinking. In our thinking, we think, okay, God can do this, but he can't do that. Well, I know God did this for them, but I don't think he'll do it for me. You see, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He has thoughts of peace towards you. He has a wonderful plan for your life and a wonderful purpose for your life. The question this morning is, are we really enjoying the life that he's given us? Are we enjoying the relationship that we have with Christ? Again, are we allowing the difficulties of life, situations of life, to kind of take away from our relationship with the Lord, kind of suck the life out of us? It can happen. I know it can. It's happened in my lifetime. But praise the Lord, I can stand here and say, but God is good. And God has seen us through many difficult times. And God's encouraged us, and God has strengthened us, and God has helped us. And God has shown himself mighty in our lives. God's capabilities are far greater than what we ever can imagine. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Think about the God that you serve. Think about the God that loves you, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke creation into existence, spoke the animals into existence, spoke nature into existence. He's the very one that lives within your life. He's the very one that lives within you. Jesus Christ is the spoken word, and there's nothing too hard for him to do in your life. And Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, Behold, the Lord says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God's the one asking the question. Is there anything too hard for me? And if we're honest with the Lord, the answer is no. There's nothing too hard. I love that God is very gracious to his people, because there was a father that came to Jesus on behalf of his son. And the Lord said to the Father, Do you believe I can do this? You believe I can heal your son? Because the Lord knew the difficulty in the Father's heart. And the Father said, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, the Lord already knew that the Father didn't believe wholeheartedly. But aren't you glad that half-heartedness A weak faith does not stop the Lord from doing great and mighty things in your life. But we have to admit it. We have to admit, Lord, I don't have great faith. Lord, I'm struggling. The Lord already knows it, but if we will say it to the Lord, we find ourselves getting victory. Because again, we have an enemy who wants to keep us oppressed in our thinking, wants to keep us thinking that there's no victory, there's no sense in telling God, he's not going to listen. But as soon as you do, as soon as you cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I don't have the faith that I should. The Lord says, I can help you. And you go back and you look at that account, the father who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. The Lord Jesus healed his son. The Lord healed his son. Sometimes our lack of faith is keeping God from doing what he wants to do. But as soon as you turn to him and say, Lord, I believe you can do this, but help my unbelief. The Lord will. And guess what? That gives you the strength on the inside that God is on my side. I'm on the winning side. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is my shield. He's my salvation. He's my high tower. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes this letter to the church of Corinth, and he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Again, God has blessed you mightily. God has shown you great things in your life. Keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. The last verse, verse 21, Paul kind of ends his prayer and says, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Always reminding ourselves to give glory to God for the life that he's given us. At times you may not think your life is the best life, but it's a life that Christ can show himself in, can be magnified in. Remember, John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. The life that you have is exactly the life that God can use and work in and do great and mighty things in to strengthen your faith in the love of Christ. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm 29. Two more verses and we're done. Psalm 29. And someone might ask, well, how can I give glory to God in my life? I have so many things in my life I regret. I have brokenness, struggles. That's the whole beauty of it, is that God works in broken lives. We're the potter, we're the clay. He's the potter. He's the one that's working on us. He's the one that's repairing us. He's the one that's strengthening us. He's the one that's shaping us into the image of Christ. Because every person's been predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. Every single person that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he takes that life and transforms it from within, inside out, so that God gets the glory for a life that has been powerfully changed by the power of Christ. In Psalm 29, look at verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In Philippians 1:11, Paul writes to the church at Philippi and says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. As Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he gives them his heart's desire for them and prays for them and writes his prayer that he wants God to strengthen them on the inside, wants God to strengthen their faith in the love of Jesus for them, that it's the power of Christ in their life, because your life brings glory to God. Guess who received glory at the end of Job's trial? God did. Job got to a place where he regretted the day he was born and told the Lord, it was a mistake for me to be born, because had I not been born, I would not be going through this difficulty. And guess what? God rebuked him for it. God rebuked Job for his thinking. And then Job gets to the place where he understands, you know what? God is right. Shall I receive good and not evil from the Lord? I mean, God is sovereign. My life is in his hands. If you know the account of Job, God blessed him in the end of his trial. God blessed him with more children, blessed him with more material blessings. I mean, God just showed himself mighty in the life of Job. There are times where God has to get us to a point in our life where we realize, you know what? God is the most important thing in my life, because without Christ in my life, nothing else is going to work out. I'll never have any joy, peace. I'll never feel the love that I long for. People are longing for love. And Jesus Christ satisfies every longing that a person has. Every void in a person's life, Jesus Christ fills it completely, not just a little bit. Because you know what? He didn't just pay for some of your sins at Calvary. He paid for them all, didn't he? If you paid for all the sins, and guess what? He's going to fill you with all his love and all his peace, so that you're strengthened on the inside to continue living in the sin-cursed world. Again, not by our strength, but by his strength. Go ahead and stand if you would, and we'll close a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for just the blessing of Jesus Christ in our life. I thank you, Father, that you've taken this old sinner, and Father, you have transformed him into something I never thought imaginable. But Lord, more than that, just having a close relationship with you, what a wonderful blessing it is for us to be able to walk with you and talk with you, and you see us, and you hear us, and you love us, you care about us. We're not praying to some statue. We're not praying to some entity that we will never, ever see or have any love in return from. But Father, you, because you gave us life, you breathed life into us and we became a living soul. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith and help us to always be reminded of the love of Jesus. And because of his love, we can live this life, because it's him through us. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.